manifestation. You are Brahman, the greatest of everything, full of effulgence like the sun. You have no material cause. You are free from change and deviation, and you have no material desires. Thus the Vedas say that you are the substance. Therefore, my Lord, you are directly the origin of all Vedic statements. And by understanding you, one gradually understands everything. You are different from the light of Brahman and Paramatma, yet you are not different from them. Everything emanates from you. Indeed, you are the cause of all causes, Lord Vishnu, the light of all transcendental knowledge. Purport. Vishnu is the origin of everything, and there is no difference between Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna, because both of them are Vishnu Tattva. From the Rig Veda we understand, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param. The original substance is the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who is also Paramatma and the effulgent Brahman. The living entities are also part and parcel of Vishnu, who has various energies. Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate Swabhaviki Jnana Bola Kriya Cha. Vishnu or Krishna is therefore everything. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matak Sarvam Pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Krishna, therefore, is the original cause of everything. Sarvakarana karanam. When Vishnu expands in his all-pervading aspect, we should understand him to be the Nirakara Nirvishesha Brahmajyoti. Although everything emanates from Krishna, he is ultimately a person. Aham adhirhi devanam. He is the origin of Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, and from them many other demigods are manifested. Krishna therefore says in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Brahman rests on me. The Lord Russell says, Yepyanya devata bhukta yajante shodaryan vitaha te bhimame rakonteya yajantya vidipurvakam. Whatever a man sacrifices to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. There are many persons who worship different demigods, considering all of them to be separate gods, which in fact they are not. The fact is that every demigod and every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. Mavaivamsho jivaloke jivabhutaha. The demigods are also in the category of living entities. They are not separate gods. But men whose knowledge is immature and contaminated by the modes of material nature worship various demigods according to their intelligence. Therefore they are rebuked in the Bhagavad Gita. Kamais tais tair vitagyanak papadyantenya devataha. Because they are unintelligent and not very advanced and have not properly considered the truth, they take to the worship of various demigods or speculate according to various philosophies such as the Mayavad philosophy. There's two more paragraphs, but I'll say something first. Devaki, she's not an ordinary woman. As soon as she opens her mouth, the sublime philosophy of the Upanishads is coming out. This is all full of Upanishads. Prabhupada has to interrupt the word-for-word synonyms to quote from Upanishads. And also he quotes from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhavi Grahiyam Indriyai. But that's an Upanishadic idea. That Yasmin Sarvesha Yato Vacho Nivartante aprapya manasasaha. The absolute truth is such that words fail to describe it. The mind doesn't have the scope to subsume the absolute truth. You cannot bring the absolute truth under the purview of your mind and senses. And therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Atakshi Krishna Namadi, Krishna's name and so on. Oh, we're not impersonalists. We worship Krishna by his name. We don't say that God's name is unknowable, unutterable. If you speak the name of God, you will be struck dead. You know, it is blasphemy to utter the name of God. And that's not our commandment. Our commandment is blasphemy not to utter the name of God. To fail to utter the name of God is blasphemy. What is it? Travidva vara hal ostra karai samstuta purushan kashu. Na yas yaya kano putope to jatu nama gadagraja. The materialistic nonsense man is worshipped by other people who are no better than dogs, pigs, camels, and asses. And he never hears the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord never enters his ear. So he's a purusha pashu, two-legged animal, worshipped by other human beings who are like dogs, pigs, camels, and asses. And his qualification is that he never even hears the name of the Lord. So that's blasphemy for us, to not hear the name of the Lord. The Lord's got his name, but as Rupa Goswami reminds us, Krishna's name and everything else about him cannot bavegraham indriyai. You cannot access. There's the treasure. And it's personal, not impersonal, but you cannot access this treasure with your current senses. You don't have the PIN code. You can't get in. You know? The money's available in the ATM machine, but you have to know the PIN code. You have to punch in the right four numbers. Otherwise, you don't get any money. So like that, you cannot... name and Krishna's name and other things about Krishna are available, they're there, but not accessible with our material mind and senses. What to do? Sevon mukhe, here's the PIN code, the magic formula. Sevon mukhe hi jiwa to, take your tongue, first of all, and engage it in Krishna's service. Why the tongue first? Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, tarmodje jiwa ati, lobomoy, sudurmati. Of all the senses altogether are a network of paths leading to death. Sense gratification. What's the wages of sin is death. This is from the Bible. So the way what you get from indulging in sense gratification is samsara, birth and death. Repeatedly. So the senses are a network of paths leading to death. But of all the senses, the most voracious and uncontrollable. Lobomoy, greedy. Sudur, wicked, is the tongue. If you cannot control the tongue, then your endeavor to control all the senses is fruitless. Krishna said that in the Gita. Vishayo vinivartante niraharasya dehina raso varjam. A person can refrain from sense gratification. Nirahara. This is pratyahara yoga. Just don't let yourself indulge in sense gratification. Nirahara also means to fast. But there's various, you can fast from food, you can fast from visual gratification, from auditory gratification. You can fast from each of these. But if you don't control the tongue, then your work is useless. Then you haven't become a yogi. Because that tongue will drag you back into sense gratification. So first line of attack is to subdue the tongue. How? Sayanamita Pala. Accept this Krishna Prasadam. By honoring Krishna's Prasadam, and refraining from non-prasadam food, and by refraining from speaking materialistic things and only speaking Krishna's glories, that is the way to engage the tongue and subdue it. Sevam mukhe jivadal. You can redirect your senses, beginning with the tongue, to Krishna's service. Then your mind and senses will become fit to access Krishna's name and the other personal features of Krishna. This is the proper deciphering of the mystery of the Upanishads. The absolute truth cannot be known by mind or the words. But there in the Upanishads, which are consist of words, the absolute truth is being described. Not just that it's not this, it's not that. Many positive things about the absolute truth are being said in the Upanishads. Personal features, not just impersonal. If we're strictly impersonal, then you cannot say anything. As soon as you start assigning qualities to the absolute truth, then he's becoming personal. Adrisha tuadi gunako dharmokte. This is one sutra from the Vedanta. Even the negative qualities are qualities. They're descriptions of actual features of the Supreme. Adrishvatvam, invisibility. If something exists, but it's invisible, that's a natural quality. If I say the rabbit's horn is invisible, or the barren woman's son is invisible, the barren woman's son carrying his sword, his shield made of a rabbit's horn, and Shashi Shringa wearing a feather, the feather of a rabbit on his head. Well, that man doesn't exist. Neither does the rabbit's horn that his shield is made out of, nor does a feather of a rabbit that he wears on it. It all doesn't exist. So the fact that a non-existent being is invisible means nothing. But if something exists and it's invisible, that's a special power. I'm in the room, but I have a power to remain invisible. And I can watch what everyone's doing from my invisible position. That's a positive power, the power to be invisible. Antardana, Shakti, special mystic power to be invisible. So Adrishyatva, the absolute truth, is real, it exists, and still it's invisible. That's a special power, a potency, a quality of the Supreme. Even the negative qualities of the Supreme are personal qualities. That's the point of that sutra of the Vedanta. So Devaki for us is helping us interpret the Upanishads. Not bad for a simple housewife from Mathura. She's giving us perfect interpretation of the knotty mysteries of the Upanishads. What it means that the Supreme cannot be understood by mind and the words. Cannot be understood by your material mind and words. But the spiritual words of the Upanishads describe the absolute truth very nicely. At least, up to understanding him as Vishnu, the Supreme Lord. Om Tad Vishno Paramam Padam Sada Pushyanti Surayaha Diviva Chakshuratatam. This is right from the Rig Veda. And the Upanishads have lots to say about Narayan Vishnu. But you want something about Krishna, about his intimate feature, you won't find too much in the Upanishads. Vedeshu Durlabham. He's not easily, Krishna, Govinda, is not easily known from the Upanishads. You can go to the Gopaltapani Upanishad. But the orthodox Brahmins won't even accept the Gopaltapani Upanishad as authentic. They just consider it some sectarian thing that was written and claimed to be an Upanishad. Anything that if you find anything in the Vedas that describes Govinda, then to the smarter Brahmins and the atheists, it's suspect. So the Vedas, the Upanishads, are not even free to describe the glories of Krishna, Govinda. If they do, then they lose most of their audience. And the audience will lose faith in them. What is this sectarian Krishna cult? What is it doing in the Vedas? It shouldn't be there. So Krishna's glories have to be described elsewhere. Krishna himself starts the movement by glorifying himself in the Bhagavad Gita. And then Krishna is glorified in the Bhagavatam. And in other Puranas also. You have to look to other books besides the Upanishads if you want
to go beyond just the concept of Vishnu.
Devaki is bridging the gap for us.
She's taking the mystery of the Upanishads and explaining how it's actually glorifying Krishna. Quite a subtle accomplishment. You know, that means she's very learned, very brilliant woman. Let me read the rest of the purport. Krishna, Vishnu, is the actual origin of everything. As stated in the Vedas, yasya bhasha, no, it's wrong. Yasya bhasa, bhasha is speech, bhasa, by whose effulgence. So anyway, it's wrong. Yasya bhasa, sarvam idam vibhati. By its effulgence, everything else is effulgent, is radiant. The absolute truth is described later in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 28, as satyam jnanam anantam yad brahma jyoti sanatanam. The brahma jyoti is sanatana, eternal, yet it is dependent on Krishna. Brahmano hi pratishtaham, I am the foundation of Brahma. The Brahma Samhita, the Lord, is all pervading. Andantarasto paramanu chayantarastam. He is within this universe, and he is within the atom as Paramatma. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagaranda koti koti shvashesha vasudari vibhuti binnam. Brahman is also not independent of him. Therefore, whatever a philosopher may describe is ultimately Krishna or Lord Vishnu. Sarvam kalvidam brahma, param brahma, param dhamma, pavitram, paramam bhavan. That first was Viharanyaka Upanishad. Second phrase there is from Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna speaking. According to different phases of understanding, Lord Vishnu is differently described, but in fact he is the origin of everything. Because Devaki was an unalloyed devotee, she could understand that the same Lord Vishnu had appeared as her son. Therefore, after the prayers of Vasudev, Devaki offered her prayers. She was very frightened because of her brother's atrocities. Devaki said, "My dear Lord, your eternal forms, like Narayan, Lord Ram, Shesha, Varaha, Nisimha, Vamana, Baladeva, and millions of similar incarnations emanating from Vishnu are described in the Vedic literature as original. You are original, because all your forms are incarnations, as incarnations, are outside of this material creation. Your form was existing before this cosmic manifestation was created. Your forms are eternal and all-pervading. They are self-effulgent, changeless, and uncontaminated by the material qualities. Such eternal forms are ever-cognizant and full of bliss. They are situated in transcendental goodness and are always engaged in different pastimes. You are not limited to a particular form only. All such transcendental eternal forms are self-sufficient. I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord Vishnu. We may conclude, therefore, that Lord Vishnu is everything, although he is also different from everything. This is the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy." So Devaki is now also presenting the essence of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. The understanding how, in a very inconceivable way, Krishna and his energies are the same, but they're not the same. Anyway, she'll go on and explain more. And she's not going to just speak philosophy. She has something in mind. She's afraid of Kamsa. And therefore, she'll ask Krishna to disguise himself and actually to hide himself over on the other side of the river. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Yes.
Nishtray Gurya Bhavarjana, mode of goodness isn't good enough. Arjuna, you should be beyond all three modes. So, yeah, it's rebuked because it's a material distraction. Avidhi Purvakam. It's not the real purpose of the Vedas to think that the agents of God are independent. Honoring the gods, certainly, especially demigod worship in the form of the standard Vedic sacrifices, to perform the rituals that are prescribed in the Vedas, how can that be bad? And that, in effect, is demigod worship. But that depends on what consciousness you do it in. If you understand that it's really directed to the Supreme Person, and these are just names and forms of his different aspects, that's fine. Even if you think all the demigods are, you know, independent, separate beings, but they're agents of the Lord, they're not independent, that's also okay. But when you start worshiping the demigods as separate and independent, then you're off. That's avidhi purvakam. That's against the principles of the Vedas, against the purpose of the Vedic sacrifice. So it's not the sacrifice itself that's bad, but it's that erroneous conception of the demigods being independent gods.
Go ahead, please. Kintu ete krishnasya prakrita vibhutaya eva bhavanti. Te aprakrita na santi. You know, jashana makarosma chasmi. I am the makara among the aquatics. Sa aprakrita, you know, shashvata bhuta nasti. Sa nashvara bhavati. Sa jasha makara. Krishnasya vibhutaya eva bhavanti. Kintu ye sham manaha prakritam eva bhavati. Tebyaha aprakrita krishnasya aprakrita guna lila ityadi duschintyam bhavati. Kintu krishnasya prakrita vibhutayaha chintya santi, so, you know, anayasena chintya santi. So dushta chitta purushanam teshamarte etat prayoga datta bhavati. Etat vibhuti dhyanam. Avidhi
purvakam.
Yasmat vaishnavanam yatha shambhuhu bhagavan shankaraha mahadevaha sa krishnasya sevakanam shreshta bhavati. Yeah, vaishnava shreshta vaishnavanam yatha shambhuhu. So tadrishtya vayam bhagavad shivasya pujam kurmaha. No, swatantra rupena eva avidhi purvakam. Yadi manmahi yad shankara swatantram bhavati. Vishnur paratantra shankarasya vashi, you know, vasha bhavati. Tad avidhi purvakam bhavet. Yadi janimaha yad bhagavan shankara krishnasya sevaka bhavati. Vishnur sevaka, Vishnur smaraka bhavati. Smaraka, Vishnur dhyanam sadakaroti mahadeva. Rama ramedi ramedi rame rame manorame. So Bhagavan Shankara parvatyai katrutavanasti yadaham sarvada Bhagavan Ramachandrasya nama smaranam karomi. So sa you know, Vishnu pujaka bhavati. Eta drishtya
tasya mahadevasya pujanam samichinam bhavati. Atraiva vrajabhumau vayam tasya adaram kurmaha dhammapala rupena. Bhagavan Shankaraha ya kundeshwara ya bhuteshwara sa ya vajadamno palaka bhavati. Yes.
In the fourth chapter and other places, it's described as transcendental knowledge, you know, grants all the sins.
Yes.
It brings to liberation.
Yes.
But in general, Vaishnava acharyas, does it not encourage, like, you know, this usual act of progress, Yamakanda, Karakanda, and so transcendental knowledge, in one sense, is encouraging, and I guess on the other side, it's
like, not. Well, you know, the knowledge can be taught in various ways. It depends who's teaching the knowledge. We don't want to hear from Dattatreya. Dattatreya is incarnation of Vishnu, son of Atri Muni. But he taught Mayavadi philosophy. Dattatreyasya darshanam Mayavade bhavati. So we don't study Dattatreya's version of Jnana, or Shankaracharya's, you know, or Ashtavakra Muni's. We don't hear from them, but we hear from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. We hear from Kapila Muni in the Bhagavatam. That Tattva Gyan, that you know, philosophy, basic Atma Gyan, that we can hear it from the right sources, the ones who are presenting Krishna conscious Atma Gyan, that we can take, that we need. We should study Bhagavad Gita, not that we ignore Bhagavad Gita and just jump to the Ras Lila. We should understand. Krishna explains all this Atmagyan for us in the Gita. Everything we need to know about the soul and the relationship of the soul to the Supreme. This is Gita Upanishad. Sarva Upanishadab. What's it? Jam Gavo Krishna. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, this is the milk that's, you know, the all the Upanishads are the cow. And this is the milk that is distilled from that cow. All the essence of all the Upanishads is the Bhagavad Gita. So where are you going to get Atma Gyan from the Upanishads? Or you can get distilled essence in the Bhagavad Gita, right from Krishna's mouth. Yes. Sudhir Bhokta. So we can be the Bhokta. We can drink the milk. Enjoy. Prasadam. Take the name of God in vain?
Yeah, unnecessarily. How can we take it?
Well, I don't know. We don't have the same commandment. They're afraid to utter God's name at all. You know, the way the Jews interpret it is that you're not allowed to say the name of God at all. You know, even they have a, you know, you're supposed to go to court and swear, so help me God. They're not allowed to even say God. They have to say G-D and leave out the O, because they can't utter even the word God. You know, that's taking it very literally. We don't take it literally. We don't even have that commandment in our book. You know, it says Sankhya. What is this? Parihasam vastovam helam namava. What's the first word? Sankhetam parihasam va stobam helanam evava vaikunta nama gvahanam ashesh agaharam vidu. This is Yamaraj. This is no joker. He's a strict injunction giver. And he says, utter the name of Vishnu. Even you don't mean Vishnu, you mean something else. Like, can you go to the laundrorama down the street? The laundromat's called Laundrorama. Yeah. Or the Cinerama Theater, you know, you don't even mean Rama, but you're accidentally saying the name of Rama, indicating something else. That's Sanketam. Parihasam. Those stupid Hare Krishnas, you know, ridiculing. Stobam. You hit your foot, and in pain you cry out, you know, some Muslim cries out, Haram. You know, or Stobam Helenam, or insult. Even intending to insult or not intending anything, you accidentally name or utter the name of Vishnu, even intending to be offensive. it takes away all sins. That's our injunction. Thou shalt take the name of God in vain. Take it anyway, one way or another. Or is there some sense in which we're not supposed to? I mean, you know, you shouldn't take your japa mala into the toilet, but you can chant mentally in the toilet. So where can we not take Krishna's name? Unless I'm missing, you know, maybe there's some situation in which we should not take God's name. I don't know. In vain. What would that mean to us? It's never vain. Never fruitless. Okay, so we just don't have that rule.
Yeah, I was just wondering how Vaishnavas can understand this. I mean, I understand
that. We consider they're being too strict. They're so afraid of God, they're afraid to even say his name. They're scared. You know, because they're afraid of God. They've been sinful and they know it. And God's, you know, going to punish them. So they're scared of him. They're so scared they can't even say his name. They make it a rule. You're not allowed to say his name. You know, you say God's name, he's going to remember us and give us all the punishment he owes us. It's just fear. Fear of God.
They can say it's not unfair because Ten Commandments were not given by some men.
It was given by God to particular men. Yeah. To people who had that kind of bhava relationship with him. You know, love in terror, fear of God. That's the rasa that Moses and his followers had with God. He appeared as a burning bush. Yeah. And angry from the beginning to the end.
Yes. Instead, as soon as you start ascending qualities to the absolute truth, then it becomes impersonal.
Well, impersonal, strictly speaking, the orthodox, hardcore impersonal should have no qualities. But they're not really impersonal. We just don't see the connection. Give me an example.
Dead stone.
The dead stone is an emanation of Krishna's energy. It's Krishna's energy. You know, even if it's just, you know, carbon and a few other minerals. Where did those minerals come from? They came from Krishna.
But we don't say Krishna personally. We say his impersonal.
But it's okay, fine, you can distinguish like that, but it's his impersonal feature. And it's features. It's qualities. The Vaishnava view is to see the energies in connection with the person who owns those energies. They don't exist separately. You can say impersonal, there's a personal feature, you can distinguish it, but it's not separate, it's not independent. It doesn't have any separate existence. So there is a personality involved. If I speak an idea and that idea is later written on a piece of paper and posted on the wall, you can say that, and then 100 years later everyone forgets that I ever existed, but that piece of paper with that statement on the wall, you know, please flush the toilet when you're done or something, is still sitting on the wall. You may say, oh, this is, you know, just has been here forever. It's impersonal, you know, there's no origin. But you just don't know. You know, you don't know the personal connection, but there's always a personal connection. Okay. Thank you, Oglo, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.